2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes!
Yes! The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell, and you. Thanks for tuning in to the program. Oh, Scott's old buddy Frank Reich up on the TV talking about what he's going to do in Carolina.
What quarterback are they going to take?
I mean, obviously, you quarterbacks, Scott, have your thoughts on who you want. So, us thinking that it's just going to be C.J. Stroud automatic, they're showing all these, you know, these Bryce Young clips on how good he is. So, Frank Reich has a decision to make here, man.
Yeah.
Because he's actually missed pretty badly on these last couple of quarterbacks.
It's been a tough road for him.
But you know, like eventually Frank. Former teammate, Frank Reich.
Frank's awesome. You know, I was thinking about Lamar Jackson, speaking of quarterbacks, you know. Maybe some of these teams are holding off on Lamar and waiting for the draft. I mean, because the Colts have expressed some interest, but they have, like, the fourth pick, I think. And it's like, would you want to give up the fourth pick in the draft? And maybe they go, let's get a good draft, then go out, make a trade for a quarterback, and give up a future draft pick. Maybe we give up next year's number one down the road. But you know, you could make a big move if you're the Colts.
Joining us right now, as we're jumping in.
No
here.
Thought about that at all.
No, because we got to get to a guest.
No,
here.
I know.
We'll get to the NFL roundup later.
Oh,
I promise.
All right,
man. All these quarterbacks, man. So much to talk.
Well, you're
about.
Talking about quarterbacks, and so I mentioned a quarterback.
I know.
We got to talk to a guest.
Let's get to our guest. Let's get to the cut. It's how we start off every hour. Jake Shapiro is going to join us from DenverSports.com. Here we go.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut. Presented by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. There you go. Give them a shot. Refrigerated section at Costco, Associated Foods, etc. Jake Shapiro, DenverSports.com. He's been on the program before talking about the hottest team in the Pac-12 right now, or at least the hottest coach in the Pac-12 right now. So hot. Coach Prime, Jake, what has he done since the last time we talked to you a few months ago that is just still turning heads there in Boulder?
So hot, the hottest team in the Pac-12, as you mentioned, that I just wrote a story for DenverSports.com, and I am not even kidding you, that Deion Sanders says he's going to coach in tank tops and sleeveless next year.
Hey, there you go.
Tank tops? Is that the wife beater kind? What do you mean tank tops?
What are you talking about?
So he posted on Instagram a picture of him at the school cafeteria, the nice little, you know, football room they got. And he said he's eating healthy because he plans to go guns out on the sideline.
Okay.
So it's undefined what he means, but it looks like he'll be showing some skin again. I mean, we've seen Deion topless before back in Fourth Illustrated back in the day. So, I don't know.
Hey, see, listen. Deion was never a guy you'd go, oh, boy, look how strong.
Look how ripped he is.
It's more like don't throw a deep out against it like right. that. And that had nothing to do with his look. It's just like this dude is super fast,
you know,
and I'm very athletic.
I'm all about him wearing – you know, the tank top on the sidelines. in August, September, October, even maybe into California. Now, the real test is going to be when he comes here to Salt Lake and he's wearing the tank top in November. Yeah. That's where it's going to be a real test.
Then we'd be impressed.
Yeah, there's no way that's happening. Although he has said over and over again, and as you guys know, because we got similar climates, the cold in Denver and in Salt Lake this time of year isn't the same type of cold that they're used to down in Texas and Florida. And he's actually been using this as a recruiting pitch. He's like, come to Boulder, 30 degrees. It's actually hoodie and shorts weather. It's not as bad as you think, which has been a funny thing. But a lot of the talk has been around what's been worn so far at spring practice because, and I'm not sure that you guys have seen this, but or it's gone really national, but Deion has stripped the entire roster of their jersey numbers.
Yes.
Every single player, and is making them earn their numbers. Which is really interesting. And obviously there's some guys that have been holdovers. There's his son. There's some big-name players. And you can buy jerseys now, players. So if you wanted to buy a Shedeur Sanders jersey, who's going to be the starting quarterback in Boulder, you might want to wait because you might not know what number he's going to wear.
So we had this discussion earlier about the ranking of the top coaches in the Pac-12. And I'm curious what your feeling is about where Deion Sanders, who hasn't coached in the Pac-12 yet, where do you think he ranks among coaches in the Pac-12?
Well, and this is an interesting question because everyone keeps asking me, do I think Deion Sanders will be successful in Boulder, Colorado? And I always keep saying, what do you define as success? Because you could make the case right now that he's the most successful coach in the Pac-12 simply because he's made Colorado relevant again after years of irrelevance. And will that success still be success, even if the Buffs only win 4 or 5 games, but then it turns into something in a year or two from now? I'm not sure. Obviously, Kyle Whittingham's unbelievable at his job. Lincoln Riley, what he's already done at USC. Chip Kelly's had a great career. So there's coaches around the Pac-12 that, you know, garner the respect and have obviously won more games than Deion Sanders. But if we look at this from a national perspective, who are the name brand coaches, the coaches that can walk into a living room and you recognize? It's Saban, it's Kirby Smart, and it's Deion Sanders. Like, he's in those Allstate commercials.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So I grew up watching, Cordell Stewart, bring some fame to this program. This is a national championship winning program, and that's not insignificant. You know, people carry that forever, and trying to get that consistency from their most successful era. Where is the fan base right now with Colorado? Obviously, they get excited about Coach Prime, but is this a football town still?
So I grew up in Boulder. I was born in 95. So I come into memory of like what stuff is going on around 2004, 2005. The Buffs have been to 2 bowl games the entire time I remember watching college football, and they have not won one. So a lot of people my age, and I'm 27, do not know anything about Colorado Buffaloes football, including the recruits and the players on the team currently. But obviously I've understood the history. I've talked to some of the older players, and I get it. So this program has been a dying program. It's been completely dormant for years. There's very little energy around the program. And I was at a game in college where there were so few fans in the stands during a double overtime game that the fans were moving the entire sections of fans were moving from end to end as the overtime's gone. So that's wow. the atmosphere that Deion Sanders is walking into, okay? The spring game is sold out, guys. They sold tickets, $10 a pop to the spring game, and it sold out. So the fan base is going crazy. My fiance's sister, who doesn't even really care about any of this, is like, hey, should we go to the spring game? I'm like, what are you going to see? It's the spring game. They play each other. Like, nothing happens at the spring game. This is the talk of the town, guys. Like, we hired Sean Payton as the Denver Broncos head coach out here. We got Russell Wilson. We've got an amazing basketball team, maybe the MV3. We've got an unbelievable hockey team that won the championship. All of that does not matter in comparison to Deion Sanders this year.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. It's hard to explain the energy around Denver, around Boulder, with the Colorado Buffaloes. It's just, it's like the Kardashians, the Sanders family. Every time they're anywhere, people care.
I want to go to the spring game now. I'm like, when is the spring game?
The black and gold.
Actually, what is happening in spring football? Shedeur Sanders is the quarterback. What's the expectation from him? How has he been doing? What's been going on in spring football?
Yeah, and we'll really know, by the way, on the spring game because it'll be on ESPN. It's the only spring game being broadcast on ESPN that's next month, which is, again, crazy. Georgia didn't even get main ESPN. They're getting ESPN, too. So Shedeur Sanders is expected to be the quarterback. Travis Hunter, who is the big-name player coming to Colorado, five-star recruit, flipped from Florida State, Deion's alma mater, to go to Jackson State, had a really good year as a two-way player, suffered some injuries, but overall pretty good year. So he comes into Boulder, and they tell him right now, focus on wide receiver, even though he's a cornerback. And the reason they want him to do this is to refine his skills as a receiver so he can even get better as a two-way player. Deion said the other day, he can wake up out of bed and just know how to cover people. We're not concerned about his defense. They've got another kid, Jimmy Horn, who's going to be a really good wide receiver that they just picked up. He was the number one transfer player, I believe, in the country. And then they've got Cormani McClain, who they flipped from Miami. He's a defensive back. So, again, that takes off some of the pressure off Hunter. I told this to you guys before. These skill position guys, like, they're going to be names. Like, these are going to be some of the best skill position players in the Pac-12. The problem is Colorado's going to take some time in developing the line, the O-line, the D-line. They've got some really fast players at running back, wide receiver, but it's going to be about how quickly can they build up this offensive and defensive line. And the coaches know that.
We were wondering, too, what the identity of a Deion Sanders offense is. Like, what is the kind of signature of what that offense, what can they expect out of an offense like that? Because I don't think a lot of people watched a ton of Jackson State games.
Yeah, and this is what's interesting, because no one really knows what the identity of a Deion Sanders coach team is going to be. It seems like he's very open to new ideas, and he kind of wants to be the CEO of the program and let his coaches do what they do best. They hired as an offensive coordinator Sean Lewis, who was the head coach, I believe, at Kent State, Akron. I always get those two confused. Excuse me, schools in Ohio. They get me. But he was a head coach at a D1 program, and they hired him away to be the offensive coordinator. Like, the Colorado Buffaloes are hiring coaches to be coordinators. That's crazy. He's a spread guy. It's going to be a lot of speed, it seems, and they're going to try and take advantage of that speed because that's what they do best. So we're going to see a different brand of football. I know that they've talked about getting Colorado a little bit back to the roots of what made the Colorado Buffaloes so great in the 90s. I don't think any team besides Air Force is really going to break out the option in 2023, right? So we're not going to see that. But I think we're going to see an interesting twist on the spread, and we're going to see some real running. Like, Deion's an old-school coach. We think of Deion as this new-school guy because of the innovations in the way football's evolved, and particularly around players like Deion with the personalities. But Deion coaches like he is Bobby Bowden and Bill McCartney had a child.
Wow. That would be interesting to see how that turned out.
I want to meet that child.
Yeah, no kidding. What's his Achilles heel? What's the one challenge that Deion has as a coach? Or Coach Prime has as a coach?
Coach Prime, yeah, he likes to be called that. I think the biggest challenge with Coach Prime with Boulder is going to be keeping the community in check, keeping everything, all the ducks in a row. Like I said, Colorado historically is a football school. It just hasn't been for a long time. And this is something that was basically doctrined by the university. They wanted to turn their back on the football program. They wanted to get away from the football program and some of the stuff that came along with it because there was so much scandal. So if this turns into as big of a deal as it's already started to turn into, at what point does the university either say, we're going to continue to support this, or we're going to back away from this? And is Deion Sanders that guy who's going to stay here and go through some of those problems? No one in their right minds right now thinks Deion Sanders is going to be here more than a couple years. But what if he is? Like, what if he is and Colorado is something for the future? Can the university back his football program? And I think that's the biggest weakness with both Deion and the football program moving forward is how sustainable really is this? Or is this a flash in the pan? Is this all just hype? But I do think ultimately in the world of NIL and transfer portal, you want the big name head coach. You want the guy who can light up a room. It's very important in both basketball and football to have that guy.
That is kind of one of those requirements in college football, of course, is like we talk about how much they want rah-rah guys and how much it works at that level. And what are the real aspirations for Coach Prime, though? Is this the kind of thing where he goes, I'm going to take that Florida State job in the future? Is that something that, you know, obviously he's right there right now, and I think last time people blew you up for saying that he'd be shorter time than maybe you would anticipate. I know it's crazy to think that he might not be wanting to spend the rest of his life in Boulder, but what are Coach Prime's aspirations, do you think?
Yeah, and it's interesting because he did buy a house. He seems very committed to Boulder, at least for the time being. But you mentioned Florida State, and he interviewed for the Florida State job a couple cycles ago, and I believe it was before he took the Jackson State job. He was very vocal at the time about how he was offended that Florida State would not give him that job. And I wonder how much resentment he may harbor for that. The school I actually look out for in terms of, well, if Colorado blows up, where does this go and where does Deion go, is Texas A&M. Because if Jimbo doesn't work out, they've got all the money in the world. And if Deion has a good year, we've already seen him get the talent. Texas A&M gets the talent, too. So you combine a school that already gets talent with a coach that gets talent, and maybe he can do something even more than what Jimbo did. So Texas A&M is the school I look out for in the long term, or I guess even 2 years out. But right now, I think Deion's aspirations aren't necessarily within the NFL like some people theorize. Like, if you look at Deion's age, he's quite old, actually, for a first-time coach at a major college level. So I don't see him going to the NFL. I could see him maybe following his sons like he has for their entire careers and becoming, you know, maybe someone who works for an NFL team but isn't necessarily the head coach, while his son, you know, he hopes will be an NFL quarterback. But I think he's really committed to coaching kids. Like, I don't think he wants to coach the NFL. Like, everything he's done post-playing career has been about mentoring young people from about age 13 to 20.
Yeah, I think he's been very clear that he doesn't want to go coach in the NFL. But look, these athletes, they're petty. I guarantee you he is not happy about Florida State, and he'll hold a grudge.
But it's fascinating, too, to think that there would be the possibility of him going just even one and done, Jake, if he has a successful enough season.
Well, it just happened. Mel Tucker just did it in Boulder, right?
Yeah.
Let's not be crazy. Like, Mel Tucker was a coordinator at Alabama. Was a failed coordinator in the NFL. Worst defense I've ever seen the Chicago Bears play was under Mel Tucker. And then he comes to Boulder. Guys, you want to talk about being successful? Mel Tucker won 5 games in Boulder and got a sweetheart deal from Michigan State.
Yes, he did.
Like, that's success in Boulder. That's where we are as a football program. So what if Deion Sanders wins 6 or 7 games this year? Does a Texas A&M, does one of these big schools come a-knocking? Because, you know, it's the name and, oh, my God, look what they did with Boulder. Imagine a school that actually cares about football, they convinced themselves.
You know, you mentioned at the beginning of our segment about all the actually great stories going on in the Denver area about sports. Is there what's a big deal? I know people were kind of giving Joel Embiid an issue for not playing against the Joker. What else is big happening over there?
Yeah, I was at that game last night, covered it for DenverSports.com. Wrote a pretty pretty harsh column about Joel Embiid ducking Nikola Jokic last night. I had a media member tell me it was the softest thing they've ever seen an athlete do. We had 3 reporters from ESPN in Denver last night. Everybody was ready for this. It was the heavyweight title bout, and one of the contestants didn't show up. So that was pretty weak. That's what is popping right now today. But mainly, a lot of people are really interested in what Sean Payton's going to do with Russell Wilson and what's going to happen with this football team. And people are really excited about the Avalanche as they try to repeat. We're getting really close. The Avs are getting hot right at the right time. And I say all of this about all those 3 teams and some fun storylines going on. guys, we're 2 days from opening day, and name a Rocky. Name a Colorado Rocky.
Wait, is Todd Helton still play there? What's...
Oh, man, it's rough.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, if you want to get rid of your baseball team, the folks here in Utah probably
listen,
take it.
They are jonesing for something here, another franchise here in town. Jake Shapiro, DenverSports.com, our sibling website over there across the Rockies. Thanks for being on the program as usual, Jake, and we'll chat with you again.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.